You. So we have this series that we're starting today, meaning the seven words from the cross. They're the last seven words this side of the resurrection. I did come again, thank goodness, right? We thank God for that. But this is some of his last words. And I thought about that, and I thought, so if we knew we were dying in the next 20 minutes, 30 minutes, and you were telling whoever was around you some last words, what would you tell them? I mean, I think I'd say, if depending on who's around me, I'd say, I love you, or tell them I love them, right? Would that be kind of a good, the gold bars are under the bed, and that would not be true. They would say he's on medication because there are no gold bars under our bed. But think about what you would, if you knew these would be life-changing, looked at over generations, what would you say? Well, this is what's going on with our Lord. He came to the earth. He showed us the heart of the Father through 33 years of living. He then, who we knew was without sin, he was, we move into the Luke chapter 23, but we move into to the crucifixion. He was arrested. He was beaten. He went through not only one trial, he went through multiple trials, religious trials, religious leaders in Rome and back and forth, and he was scourged, and he wore a crown of thorns. And you think about all that has been done to him, and he was perfectly without blame or innocent. Let me push pause on that. I know in this room, and I knew the other service too, everyone in this room has been impacted by somebody negatively somewhere in life. It's a scar, it's a wound, somebody's hurt you. Maybe it was on social media, maybe it was to your face. Maybe you've accidentally hurt somebody else, right? Would I agree we're in common company here? Let me bring it a little bit closer. Jesus was perfect, okay? And the things that I just caused us to reflect on of how we felt, imagine him perfect. Our sin and everything that was sinful about us, everything that was not of God is like us impacting Jesus, right? That's called sin. And I'll let you know that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So this side of the room isn't more less sinful than this side, right? Some of you are like, well, I know that one over there. I don't know. No, but the point is, when Jesus laid his life down, when he took those nails, when he was whipped and he was crucified, I've never really brought it to personal. That's Bill. That's my sin. That's my offense to Jesus. That's where I hurt him. And that's where all of us had done. And he could have reared up like Bill Williams has done in his past, reared up and going to vindicate myself, reared up and say, "What? I'm going to be defensive, and how could you, and how dare you? I'm not that person. I don't deserve this," right? And yet he took it. He took it because at any point in time, we know he could have said, "Stop, we're not going to go through with this." He was the Son of God, right? But he took it because he said, I came to earth to live and to die for you, Bill, and for you, and for you. Isn't that personal? He didn't just, it's not a historical thing. We're so glad he kind of did this thing for them or us. No, he came knowing our sin, being impacted by it, allowed his physical body to receive all that. And he says, I did this so that we could be reconciled. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. So this season of Lent, or this time of Lent, is us being reminded of that. And so I want to pick the story up. As Jesus is carrying the cross to a place called Golgotha, or the skull. I have had the privilege of being at that site in Israel, and it's pretty solemn. A lot of death occurred there. And yet he's carrying his cross and he's moving that way. And these slides actually, Tyler did a great job putting them together. And I may not even be using the right translation. I'm just going to read out of my Bible. You all can follow along. They've got the slides from here, so we're good. But it said in verse 33, chapter 23 of Luke, verse 33, and when they came to the place called the skull, there they crucified him and the criminals, one on the right and one on the other left. And we'll talk about them next week. But Jesus was saying, Father, these are his first of seven words from the cross, last words before the other side of death, burial, and resurrection. Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. And they cast lots, dividing up his garments among them, and the people stood by looking on. And even the rulers were sneering at him, saying, he saved others, let him save himself. If this is the Christ of God, his chosen one. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming up to him and offering sour wine and saying, if you are the king of the Jews, save yourself. My human nature is to either fight or flight. My human nature is defend me, right? How many can identify with somebody down the street that's just a natural thing? Man, you come at me. Hey, I know what. How about you moms? You mess with me, but you mess with my cubs, I'm coming after you. Hello? My wife should be going, amen, amen. And yet Jesus, the first thing he says is, hey, Bill, you know, I got all your sin all over me here, and yet I want you to hear this from me, my heart. I want you to know you're forgiven. I want the Father to know that I did this for our relationship, for you and I. So it's good, as I thought about how could we take this common or this familiar passage and really put it into some breaking it down into some points. And so the first thing is, I realized that sin, that shame, the things in my life that impacted Christ, that he took on for me, what do I do with it? What is my natural default? And you all may have different ones, but one of the things that I can find myself doing, and I see it with other people, is I can bury a wrong. I've done a wrong, I have a shame, I have something I can have a regret, and I just bury it. You know, it wasn't that big a deal. I don't want to deal with it. Let's just bury it. And some of us are, you know, like gunslingers. And if an issue comes up, we just are ready, fire, aim, and type people. Some of you will get that in just a minute because you all keep firing and finally hit the, okay. Others are like accountants, and that's this burying it. We'll just say, well, you know, and we write down, oh, that offense and that wound and that shame. You know, I'm just, you know what, as long as the outside looks good, everything's wonderful. Are you fine? I'm fine. It's kind of like a beach ball. You know, it starts off small, and, you know, it's not that big, so you hold it underwater, and up here, everybody says, how you doing? Fine, fine. And as it grows, other things, fine, and you know they're not. The first service I said she, and then I corrected it to he, but have you ever heard, fine, I'm fine. You know better. And they're like trying to hold this thing. And I thought about how when we think about forgiveness, what a word. Because there's a forgiveness of Jesus. You know, we think, okay, he's the Son of God, and I can receive his forgiveness. That's amazing because he was God. But how about me forgiving somebody else? That's another level of forgiveness. Or how about me forgiving myself? And I thought about that. So I can bury it. I also, whenever I've done something wrong, I don't know if you've seen anybody ever do this, but I like to play the blame game. Actually, I'm just reflecting off Old Testament scripture, just trying to be biblical. I do like Adam. You know, when God walked into the garden and said, why are you covering your sin or your shame, and why are you hiding out? He goes, well, because we're, you know, naked or whatever, not clothed. And he said, well, how did you know that? Well, you know, that woman you gave me caused me to eat this apple. If you don't know what I'm talking about, look on your little mobile phone. If it's an apple, there's a bite out of that thing. That's their trademark. And I like Apple products, but it caused me to remember that. But we blame. We can say, well, and that'll happen whether it's I'm going to blame my parents, I'm going to blame that last boss, I'm going to blame the last preacher. I don't know, pick somebody, right? I'm going to blame my sibling, and we can play the blame game. In fact, that's kind of the hide and hurl, because I really don't want to deal with it, so I'm going to everything's about them. And God is really more concerned about our heart, not everybody else's. Amen? Now, he likes everybody's heart, but I'm saying when it comes to what I'm focusing on. And then what I do best, the best thing I do is I beat myself up. That's the forgiving ourselves. So I can concept the whole idea of God's forgiveness, right? I can receive that. I can say that I've received that. And then I can think about maybe I'll forgive them because, you know, I don't agree. That was wrong what they did. How in the world can I forgive that? But I can walk through that. But sometimes I don't want to forgive myself. Now let me say this one thing. Forgiveness is not necessarily forgetting. Forgiveness is taking and not saying that what they did or whoever did to you something was right or you're okaying it. It is not, you're still going to have scars. You're still going to have things you have to have God's help in healing through and living beyond. But what it's doing is taking off the chains. It's taking off the bondage. It's taking off what the devil can use with a wound and turn into bitterness and lock you down in an area where you're not free and filled with the Lord. And so coming to the Lord, when we realize that I can bury it, I can blame, I can beat myself up, what Jesus wants us to do, he wants to bring hope and healing. Amen? Let me give you another picture. I used to do a lot more road biking and mountain biking, okay, so bicycles. And around Oklahoma, if you've ridden much around here, you can even think you're on the pavement. You can pick up burrs and sand, whatever it is, right? You can pick up splinters. How many go out to, you're going to ride your bike? You just pumped up the tire yesterday and it's flat. It's in the garage and it's flat because of these little micro piercings, these little light. And of course, I'd ride and I'd see the big burrs and I'd rake them off, but it still would leak. And I think sometimes as a Christian, I think that, okay, we found Jesus, we want to be filled by him, we're so glad that he's the air in my tire, you know, help me get through the day, and yet we think that it's make sure and get here on Sunday, and get some air, you know, and you kind of leaking along the week, and you need to stop by on Wednesday and get a little more air, and you got to get back here, maybe hope you can make it till next Sunday to get a little more air. Jesus never expected us to run around with a bunch of thorns in our tire, in our life, bleeding away, feeling whole and complete, touched. He wants to fill us, but he also wants to heal those places. Amen? I thought about this after the first service. I would get a screw or a nail in my car tire, and as long as I rolled the tire on it, it didn't leak. Hello? Some of you live far enough away from air, you're going, yeah, we plan that. We want it to be there in the morning so I can get to work. No, but isn't that funny in life how we'll take a wound or an offense or a hurt, and instead of asking God not just to receive his forgiveness, but his healing, his setting us free of something, we'd rather manage the leak. So what does Jesus, what do we gain from what we watched him take, being totally innocent? What does he say here? Well, he wants us to do this, I believe, with guilt and shame and wounds. First, he wants us to admit when we've done whatever, that we're in need. He wants us to come up with admitting that we need something greater than ourselves, that we're not just trying our best and hoping for the best. Is anybody out there ever heard, if it's to be, it's up to me? You can pull yourself up by your own bootstraps. You know, it's about attitude, and if you have enough attitude, you can accomplish anything. I mean, see, those are not necessarily going to be a biblical truth. But God says, you let me in, and let me be Lord of those areas, and let me bring healing. You let me touch those things, and let me be what fills you and your confidence. It changes your life. To admit it, to take responsibility, and to ask for forgiveness. Now you say, wow, Pastor, I've done that with Jesus. Let's talk about the three. We got with the Lord. How about with others? The Lord challenged me, and challenges me quite regularly, but every year I pray for the year coming up, and I said, Lord, I want more of you this year. Anybody agree with me on that? I want more of you today. I want more. I don't want to get satisfied with just enough. I want more. Till I step into heaven, I just want more of you. And he said, okay. And so he said, I want you to reach out to some people. I want you to go and make contact with them. People that are 2 or 3 years ago people. And I want you to ask them to forgive you. And I went, for what? You know, for what? No. Have you ever bumped somebody or bruised somebody and didn't even know it? Am I the only one in here? Thank you. At least three of you are with me. And I had to then ask, so what? What is it that I got a lot of people I've kind of run into, so to speak, in the last 3 or 4 years, and he started bringing some to mind. And I thought, I really had to scratch my head. Now, there were a few I totally understood who they were. How many know you know those people? All right. But no, I had to start asking questions. And you say, Pastor, this is kind of crazy. I said, yeah, but here's what it is. I got my sights off of people and kept my sights on him, and I want more of you. And he kept, said, okay, then I want you to come back to here. Not only the forgiveness I want you to receive from me, realizing you need a supernatural somebody, something bigger than the natural to meet and heal you and touch you, but I also want you to realize how I modeled this, and I'm going to bring some people to mind. Will you be obedient? Will you receive the blessing that comes through obedience? Wow. You know, it's kind of like going from elementary school to the next level, doesn't it? But I want more. And so I prayed and got these names and began to search them out. First person I go into, and they, hi, everything's fine, right? I'm in here really not totally getting why I'm in there other than God told me to. If you all follow me so far in the back, okay. And I go in and I visit. And I said, well, I'm here on a mission. Because they, well, you know, I have kids, great. Well, I'm on a mission. And they said, well, what are you on the mission for? And I said, well, the Lord told me to come and ask you to forgive me. They go, what? I said, well, all I know is I'm to be obedient. And so I began to just share my heart of what God, I wanted more of the Lord. I asked him to put on, and they brought me to your mind. And I just need... There were tears. There was a worship, little worship broke out in this. We were in their business. Broke out. Not planned. I wasn't expecting anything. Tears were flowing. We hugged on each other. We prayed and gave thanks to God. It touched their hearts. They hadn't been walking around limping, but because of, I asked the Lord for more. He gave me a prompting. I was obedient to do it. He brought something in and poured into something that was full of life, his life. Isn't that something? There are going to be people, though, that maybe you've been wounded by and it's hard for you to forgive. And again, some may have already gone to heaven. Some may have been aunts or uncles or grandpas or people that you don't have an opportunity to talk to them and say, what you did to me was wrong. I want to forgive you because I want to be obedient to God, but that has been robbed of you, that flesh and blood. But God would say today, then you are the one that needs to trust him. With that hurt, that pain, that moment, no matter how many years ago it was. Again, not saying it was okay what they did. Oh, so, no, God, I need your help. And what I want is more of you. Remember that gaze. I want more of you. And so help me get that. And he goes, okay, then forgive them. Well, I don't want to forgive them. They were wrong. He said, well, if you want more of me, you've got to do what my son did when he says, Father, forgive them for what they know, not what they do. And when you do it this way, I'm going to release more of the kingdom into you. I'm going to start pulling away some of those thorns in your tire. I'm going to start touching those holes, those hard places, those places that you can't ever seem to get filled up with. I'm going to heal that and bring more of me into your life. But I had to ask for those people that I didn't know about. And then there were some that I've reached out to. And at least I've done the part of being obedient to God. Sometimes people, even if they're alive, won't respond. But you do what God tells you to do. And that's putting them on his altar, trusting him to take care of whatever. And then you find freedom. And maybe it's something you did. Maybe you blew it. Can I tell you, everybody here has blown something. I mean, we've blown it. We've messed up. But maybe you really were a real royal pain in the whatever, jerk, terrible, whatever. I don't want to use too many words. And God goes, I know. Will you bring that to me? Yeah, but I hurt so many people. I disappointed so many people. Yeah, would you bring that to me? If you want more of me, you've got to bring that in your heart right now to me. And sometimes we've done that. Sometimes we'll go to camp or we'll go to something special and we'll have a moment with the Lord. And the problem is, he forgives us, right? That's not a problem. The problem is we leave not feeling worthy of forgiving ourselves. And so we walk out with guilt or shame, hoping one day I'll prove to myself that I was worthy of being forgiven by the Almighty. See, forgiveness is a catalyst to not necessarily, let me just say what it is. It frees you from the past and makes it possible for you to live more in the present with him and in the future. Admit it, accept responsibility, and ask for forgiveness. And here's some things. I want to see if you agree with this. This is kind of how I would like, I think it's a truth here. And if you agree with any one of these points, you just amen or raise a hand or something, okay? Would that be all right? I want to make sure we're interactive. When we come to Jesus, whether it's in a church service or in a parking lot or wherever, when we come to Jesus and we say, God, I just bring this to you, whatever it is, I bring, does he, I believe he forgives instantly, don't you? That's a truth. He forgives immediately, instantly. He's been waiting. He's been waiting. He already knows your beginning and end. He's waiting. So it's a once we come to him, he forgives instantly. And here's another truth. He forgives completely. He says it's like it's annulled. It's like that sin, that issue you've had, the way you've treated somebody or something. It's been taken care of forever and ever and ever. East is west. I don't even remember it, right? It's covered by the blood. It's immediate. It's completely. And what we know, we sing it in the Amazing Grace song, but it's a free gift of grace. Free gift of grace. Meaning getting more than you deserve. And so what I want to do today is I want to give God room. Many of you said, I want to leave like I had an encounter with Jesus, regardless of what the preacher said. And he's here. First service, many, many took the trust step of trusting God with something, whatever it was, and they were touched. You could see it. It was just all over. And I believe that same God is in this room right now. So I'm going to ask you to stand. You'll stand up with me. Now, what I'm about to say is that nobody in this room is off the hook. So if you got a watch, stop looking at it in the name of Jesus. Or your phone or whatever. If you're here and everything's fine, you know, you got that beach ball down just fine. Nobody needs to know anything. But if you're, then you need to be praying. How many know that prayer stirs heaven? So in this room, if I were to say, who in here would like somebody that doesn't know Jesus to make that final, that last step they've been waiting on to say, I need the Lord, and they accept him today? How many would like that to happen? Okay, that's good. How many would like somebody to truly let bitterness or things that have trapped them for years, that their inner tube has been leaking and they just keep trying to fill up more of him, but they're not healed yet? You'd like them touched by the Holy Spirit. I think we'd all say that. So you're here to pray much as well as receive ministry. Just know that. So I'm going to give us a chance to respond. I'm going to come get something that I have hung in my office. But I'm going to give us a chance to take a step. I believe in the Old Testament, every time God moved, they piled up rocks or they remembered the moment. And so I'm going to just say, like these steps or the aisle, basically anywhere where you're not already standing or sitting, I want you to move. If God is bringing himself to you with something, I want you to take a step. You can come up. And here's what I want you to think about. It's something I'm going to bring to him. Maybe I want to leave with him something, or maybe it's something I want to go up and get and take home. I want to not only leave, maybe you're fine, maybe you're offloaded, but I need some more of the Lord, his peace or joy or hope or and filling, dwelling spirit. But that could be you could step into the aisle. You could just step over one. I just want you, this is between you and him, but I want you to remember that moment and remember that little piece of carpet or whatever. But if you stand here and say, no, I'm one of those stealth believers. They don't need to know what he's doing to me right now. See, I believe when we take a step and allow it to be visible, that's called a testimony. Doesn't mean they need to know everything, but you're just saying, I'm trusting God for the more. I'm trusting God for the healing. I'm trusting God for being set free. I'm trusting God with salvation. You can rejoice inside. This picture might be some of you. This is Bill Williams before I knew Jesus. Can y'all see that back there? Let me go up a little more. This was Bill Williams before Jesus. Actually, it's Bill Williams after Jesus. See, I was trying to do everything to fulfill the American dream without him. And I ran and I ran and I ran. And that little sheep there looks like he's in need, and I was. And I look over my shoulder, and Jesus has been pursuing me from the day I was born. Actually, he knew me before, but he pursued me and pursued me, and I finally got tired of myself, and I turned around, and there he was. And I said yes to him. And I wish I could say that I became white as snow, and everything's been perfect ever since. No, this sheep loves, I guess, mud. I go back to wallering, you know, or whatever. I get off track. But Jesus is always there, no matter what we've gone through, recent or past. And so wherever you may find yourself, maybe Jesus is saying, I'm right here. I've been chasing you, and you need to say yes to him. Or maybe you've said yes. He says, hey, I just want to talk. I love you. I want you to remember that. You've gotten frightened recently and ran, and I'm here. Come back to me. So can we let that be a time here now? Will you step out towards him to leave something, to pick something up? Or maybe you just need to pray from where you're at. God, have your way. God, have your way. We want revival in hearts. We want revival in homes. We want the holy fire of you to work today. Amen. So I'm going to put this here. Darla has come up. We had not rehearsed or planned hardly any of this. And I just said, come up when you feel the Holy Spirit. Notice she's been up here a while. So if you bow your heads with me, and I'd ask you to take a step to what God's doing with you right now. This is about you and the Lord. Take a step and come up front. Take a step into the aisle. And God, I'm bringing this inner tube that keeps leaking air, and I want you to touch, I want you to heal, I want you to bring yourself into me. Step out now. Some of you are doing that. Step out. Maybe you just need to go stand on the side walls of the room, and you're just going to say, that's where I stood and made, I left some stuff. I picked up some stuff. Some of you are praying, and what comes to mind as you pray for people or somebody in your family, they're not even in this room or this building, and you realize they need a touch of the Lord today, and I just encourage you to voice their name, Bob, Sue, Lord, touch Kim, touch Larry, whoever it is. What is God teaching you about you? Are you that sheep and you think you're too dirty? You've done too much. How could he forgive you again? That is a lie from the devil, because he loves you. He loves you and forgives you today over and over. And he embraces you just the way you are. He embraces you. He wants an intimacy with you. And he wants to fill you up with truth. He wants to replace the lies. He wants to bring freedom. The chains that have had you bound, you trust him enough to give him that pain and let him finish whatever that person is going to get. But I trust you, Lord, more than the pain. I trust you, Lord, more than me carrying this any longer. I believe that the first step to miraculous release of heaven is forgiveness. Lord, I receive your forgiveness. Lord, help me as I forgive others. And then, oh Lord, the hardest thing is help me forgive myself. Pour into me, Lord. Take every truth of your word to counteract the lies that I've covered the walls of my heart and mind with. The echoes in my heart, Lord, are rests that are not from you. Bring life to me, Lord, your life. Forgive me. And help me to forgive. With every head still bowed, I want to ask this question. If you feel the Lord was talking to you today in some way or fashion, if you lift up your hand, I just want to see. All over this room, God is moving. God has moved and is speaking to people all over this room. That means he's here. The powerful God, the God with the power of resurrection is here. And loving God for you, are you reaching out to him right now? God, we collectively pray for someone that would need you that has not yet allowed you to become the Lord of their life. We celebrate those that have done it, showed us through baptism. But Lord, there are some that need to nail that down and say, Lord, I really do need you. And today's the day that I'm going to say, you're my Lord. Come into my heart, Lord. Help me, Lord. Help, help. Thank you, Father. Do you hear the chains? You had supernatural ears and people are trusting him. Can you hear the chains falling to the ground right now? Ask God to give you that. Say, Lord, I believe in that person over there. I hear the chains. I hear the air that's leaking out, slowly being healed. And now you're just filling them. You're filling them. Father, for every name that we've lifted up, whether they're here or not, Father, we ask you to move over their lives right now. Create an environment around their mind and heart where they can hear you louder than the noise in their life, Lord. Father, where there are people that you've called us today to go talk to just say, I'm being obedient. It's a mission for me, mission of the Lord. Lord, I pray you'd give them boldness to be obedient, keeping their eyes on you and not the people. Keeping your eyes on the much more that we desire. Helping us, Lord, every step of the way to humbly come before and ask for forgiveness. And Father, the hardest part of forgiving ourselves or forgiving someone that did terrible things, Lord, we need your help today, a supernatural filling of you to allow us to do that. Because Lord, above all, we want to worship you. We want to receive from you, but we want to give glory back to you because we've trusted you and allowed you to have your way in our own hearts. And so thank you, Lord. We give all this to you, give you thanks and praise and worship. And we pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, I'm going to let you all know that a bunch of you, most of you in here, are fire starters. I just needed you to know that. And you say, what in the world are you talking about? If you're a Christ believer, you're carrying a holy fire. Amen? Hello? Somebody like, how many know that you're carrying the holy fire? Some of you kind of keep him, you know, down in here just in case. This isn't a pocket warmer kind of God. Okay? This is a holy fire. And when you allow him to have more of you, and fill up more of your thoughts and more of your behavior, whether you know you're on mission or not, you're going around and potentially there's fire starting all around you. Holy fire. People are being changed because of your trusting him, right? So if you want a revival in your home, you trust him more in your own heart first. You want a revival in school? Hello? Your schools? Your town? Your family? Man, the first service is ready to go out there. Come on now. I mean... All right, so we're getting ready to leave here. You're getting ready to go be the church. You're ready to go let the fire of the Lord spread. So let's let him do it, amen? God bless y'all. Go be the church.